Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. The treasure we're going to look at today is the brook, the bag, and the sling. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are so grateful for all of the opportunities you bestow upon us to know you more and more. Today is just one more. We ask you for your spirit to abide within us, and that same spirit that's within your scriptures, that they may call to each other deep unto deep, that we may open your scriptures and see you, hear you, behold you, interact with you. Let our lives be richer for the time we spend with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, as I said, we're looking at the brook, the bag, and the sling. We are starting a new month, the month of June. I don't usually do this, but I decided we needed to have kind of a theme for June. It sort of ended up that May was a matter of multiplication. We multiplied in May, so I thought for June, we need to jump. We need to jump start some things or just jump in June. So I thought we're going to look at some passages that should cause us to rise up, to jump up in June. And so we're going to start with the brook, the bag, and the sling. When I used to teach homiletics in Bible school, my ministerial students, their final for homiletics was to preach. That was the final. And it was also our last night together. And so for them, instead of giving them a little speech or something for the end of the term, I would preach for them. And the thing I would preach is the brook, the bag, and the sling. Of course, I'm referring to David and Goliath, and that passage is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're all very familiar with this story. I mean, even the secular world, they always are referring to Goliath, etc., and the Davids and the Goliaths, but they don't have any idea really about the image that this creates. They understand that the little guy takes on the big guy. But what they don't see is that the little guy with God is bigger than the big guy with an ego. Anyway, the reason I taught this to them and preached this to them was that one of the questions people starting out in ministry, and the truth is all of us who are in ministry or restarting in ministry or starting jumping to a new level in ministry, is we always ask ourselves, where am I? Where am I? We need to place ourselves somehow in that continuity of the gospel, that continuum of the will of God. So that's what we're going to look at with the brook, the bag, and the sling. Because, you know, most of the time when we talk about this, we may talk about it from David's point of view or Goliath's point of view or even Saul's point of view. And we talk about the armor, or we may talk about the things that David got from the victory, et cetera, et cetera. We may even talk about the challenge. There's so many things that we talk about this, but one of the things that we don't usually talk about is we don't look at it from the viewpoint of the stones, which is how we're going to look at it today, the viewpoint of the stones. When we look at the continuum of the gospel, of where we find ourselves on it, it becomes really, really simple in this context. We are either in one of three places. As the stones, we are in one of three places. We are either in the brook, we are in the bag, or we are in the sling. We're going to read just two or three verses in here. It doesn't take a lot to cover the part we're going to cover. And if you want to get more of the feel of it, of course, you can go back and read the whole context. Anyway, so we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll back up to a little bit of verse 39. Saul and David and said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, that is his armor, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Okay. Verse 40. See, sometimes what we think is so necessary for the gospel actually becomes a hindrance to the gospel. Sometimes we have this this heavy weight of authority or position or title, but sometimes it intervenes. I remember the very, very, very first time I went to Africa, I just kind of snuck in. It was when Uganda was still in civil war and everybody else was kept out, and they were still at the end of the civil war. Nobody went in, nobody with any, but they saw this young little single girl. They didn't think I had anything to offer, so no amount of magnitude of position or authority kept me out. We just kind of snuck in. Sometimes those things that we think give us meaning or significance in the world of battle actually just kind of hinder us. So he put them off of him. Verse 40, and he, that is David, took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones. We're going to look at each word in this, out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag. And when he had, even in a script, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Okay, we're going to look down. We're going to go down to verse 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. That's where we get our jump for July in this one. David didn't hang back and say, oh, God, please give me a miracle. He ran toward the enemy. The enemy was twice as big as him, quite literally. Everything was just, the odds were so against him, except he was so full of faith. He was so full of his vision. He was so full of his assignment that he ran toward the Philistine. Okay. Verse 49, we're looking basically at verses 40 and 49. 49 says, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, in case those of you grammarians didn't believe there was slang in the Bible. Ha ha, slang. He slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he, that is Goliath the giant, fell upon his face to the earth. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. This is, I know we've talked before about his tent, his armor was in his tent. Verse 54 shows that. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor, that's Goliath's armor, in his tent. We've talked about that before. Anyway, we're looking at this, bringing down this giant. And I would always tell my homiletic students, as they're, you know, ready to venture out into ministry, that we are the people who bring down giants. We are meant to be giant killers. We are meant to be those who bring down, you know, the giants of injustice, the giants of oppression, the giants of fear and intimidation and bullying. That's who Goliath was to the Israelites. That is even now what a Philistine means. A Philistine means one who doesn't believe, but also one who intimidates and bullies and throws his weight around. So how did this young man from the backside, who was not even in the army, was not even a soldier, how did he bring down this giant? See, it's not the great, mighty warriors. You know, we look to certain leadership as though they are the ones through whom God will move. But God will move through the ones that nobody notices. Anyway, but we're not looking at David this time, are we? We're looking at the stones, because that's who we are. I think it's the book of Peter. Is it Peter? Anyway, wherever it is, it talks about us being lively stones, that we are a temple built up of the Lord of lively stones. And that's what we are. We are the stones. We are not the hand of God. We are not the vindication of God. We are just the stone that is used to bring down the giant. But that stone, and as I said, what we're looking at is, where is the stone? Where am I? Where am I in my course of my life, the course of my ministry, the course of God's will for me and how he's going to use me? Where am I? And the truth is, you're going to be only one of three places. You're either in the brook, you're in the bag, or you're in the sling. If you look at it, they're the only three places the stone was: the brook, the bag, or the sling. Now, that doesn't mean in every area of your life you're in only one of these, but your life is in one of those three places. So let's go back to verse 40. He, that is David, took his staff is in his hand and chose him, underline that word, chose him, five smooth stones out of where? The brook. The very first place we look for the stone is in the brook. The brook is got hundreds, it's got thousands of stones. All of them are there. And what is happening? The water, you know, the water is always, I don't want to say symbolic because somebody will be upset, but it is the picture, it is the image, it is the blueprint, the foreshadowing always of the Word, the water of the Word. We are washed by that. We are baptized in the water. These things always talk about the life that's in the Word. And so these stones are in the brook, and the water is washing over all of them. The water is washing over all of us. They're washing over me and the Pope at the same time. They're washing over your bishop and the newest saved babe in Christ. The same water washes over all of us. What does the water in the brook do? It smooths the stone, doesn't it? It rubs off all the rough edges, all the harsh edges, all those rough and stony places, those harsh places. David put his hand in, and it doesn't say he just scooped them up. He did not. He purposely chose them. Now, some of you are probably too urbane and too dignified to know about this, but those of us who grew up kind of with a country background, we know what it's like to skip stones. You know, you see how many skips you can get and how far out it gets. And, you know, some of us, when we very first start, you take a stone and kerplunk, and this goes down the first place. But there's a whole system to it. And the biggest part of it, I mean, there's the way you kind of throw it from the side and you flick it with your wrist, and all of that's important. But the most important is, far before you throw the stone or skip the stone, is the picking of the stone, the selection of the stone. And you look them over, you pick them up, You feel the weight of them in your hand. You run your hand all over them. And what you want is something very, very smooth and very, very flat and narrow, you know, so it will skip. And if you make a wrong selection, kerplunk, you're the loser. So you when you want to get into that field, the first thing you do is learn how to select a stone. David went to the brook, and it says he chose him. Those of us who are in the work of God, we did not choose ourselves. We didn't decide one day, well, I'm going to do X, Y, Z for God. We were chosen. And the hand of the master reached down into the waters of the word, the waters of this world, the waters of life. You know, water also signifies life. When they passed through the Jordan, it was death and life. When, you know, water always, we are born into this world through water and the blood. We are born into the heavenly body through water and the blood. So water is the beginning of life. So we are in this brook who constantly, you know, flows over us and flows over us. Now, it's a tough job being smoothed off. But, you know, the water also at the same time cools us. A lot of times when we're young, we need a lot of rough edges smoothed off us, don't we? But we don't really feel that as any kind of pain, because at the same time, the beauty, the goodness, the love of the life of God washing over us cools us. It's not just friction. It is also the water. Stone is as hard as you can get, yet stone yields to water. Oh, in our life, that we may understand that hard thing in us will yield to the washing of the word, the washing of the water. Anyway, so he goes down and he chooses his stones very, very carefully, picks them up and weighs them and turns them this way and that and feels them. And he goes, nope, that was not quite ready, kerplunk, and it goes back in the brook. This one, oh, yeah, that looks good. Looks, One little corner is still rough. Kerplunk, it goes back in the brook. So many times we are discouraged when we don't get picked out of the brook. When we're picked up, thrown back in the brook, not ready for service yet. And that can be discouraging, except it's in the brook where we get prepared for service. So he picked up his stones, he chose them. And so we will eventually, when the water has washed over us and smoothed us, he chose. Nobody gets into the bag or the sling by accident. If you are serving God, it's not by accident. It's because he chose you. He chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, which is the first place we can be. And he put them where? In the shepherd's bag, which he had with his scrip. And his sling was in his other hand. And then we see that he ran down. He ran down the hill. They were on each side of the hill. They ran down to the valley. And so here he is. We get, oh, thank you, Jesus. I've been picked for service. I've been picked for ministry. I've been picked to do some great deed. And the first thing out of the brook is you get plunged into the bag. We think, aha, well, there were only 5 stones down in that bag. Yes. So they started out with more. We were selected into fewer. But let me tell you, the bag is not a place of great joy. In the first thing you know, you get plunged in this bag with 5 other stones. The first thing you find is it's dark. You can't see anything in there. It's darkness. It's disorienting. The other thing is when we were in the brook, everything was cool. Everything was smooth. Everything was sweet. The water was washing over us all the time. He starts running. And those 5 stones do what? They start clanging together, don't they? They start, you know, there's friction and there's sparks. And there's, when we are selected, that doesn't mean that there is not going to be friction between people, you know? So the bag is a place of darkness. It's a place of confusion. And a lot of times we think, oh, we should be elevated. Let me tell you, there are 4 other stones in there with you. Now, he chose them very, very, very carefully the first time out of the brook. But once they go into the bag, they are all of equal ability in the bag, aren't they? So when David, in verse 49, put his hand into the bag, He took thence a stone. Everybody underline that, a stone. He didn't say, well, let me see, should it be this one, should it be that one? He just stuck his hand in and grabbed whichever one his hand grabbed. They already were chosen. Sometimes when we feel prepared to serve God and it seems like one person gets picked over us, oh, we can be so discouraged, we can be so unhappy, we can be so down about it. But the reality is we were chosen to be in the bag. But once you're in the bag, he doesn't pick again. So if he picks me today and he picks Apostle Kizzy tomorrow, it doesn't make any difference. He has chosen all of us of equal weight, of equal smoothness, of equal measure. And whichever one of us he grabs, that's fine. I'm pleased whether it be, you know, Pastor Mom or be it me. I don't care. He puts his hand in, and whichever one he gets, the one that remains in the bag is not of lesser worth or lesser importance or lesser significance, because the significance is not in the stone. It's in what the hand of the master does with the stone. Amen? So our time in the bag is not always as wonderful as we think it is. He put his hand in the bag, 49, and he took thence a stone. I want you to underline that, a stone. And he slang it, and he smote the Philistine in the forehead. Okay, well, that sounds great. Now we are no longer in the bag. We are in the sling. Oh, yes, we are singled out for service. And most of us want to be lifted up, and we want to shout, and we want to say, look at me, look at me. Let me tell you what happens when you get in the sling. There have been times I've been left in the bag when somebody else goes to the sling. And there have been times I've been in the sling. And there have been times I've been thrown back in the brook. But when you're in the sling, you don't go, aha, now everybody will see me. They don't see you. They see the hand of the shepherd, and they see the giant come down. But what happens, you get put into the sling, and then he starts rotating it round and round and round and round very, very fast. Well, what happens to that stone? That stone's pretty dizzy, isn't it? It's going round and round and round and round and round in the sling. Ooh, we can't see anything. We don't know where we are. We don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, the shepherd lets you loose, and he flings you. Oh, let me tell you, that acceleration is enough to make some people sick. And he flings you. Where does he fling you? He flings you far away, the opposite direction of the camp. The camp can't sit back and clap their hands politely and go, ooh, look at that stone. Isn't that a special stone? Isn't that an important stone? You're going far away from the enemy camp. Remember how many there were, thousands of stones in the brook. And then there were five stones in the bag. Do you understand that, yes, you get more singled out, but the other thing that happens is you become lonelier and lonelier. There is more of a sense of isolation, that you have less and less comradeship in the sling until you alone are flung far away from the camp. Oh, we always say we want to serve God, but the moment we are no longer in the midst of this affirming convocation and affirming the camp, the affirming congregation, what happens? We begin to feel alone, don't we? And where are we flung? We're flung into the heart of the enemy camp. We're flung right at the head of a giant. Woo! And it happens fast, doesn't it? So he's flung right at the head, and so he's flung far away. So there's always more of that isolation, more of that singularity. And it's part of what we do. It's part of who we are. It's a part of our journey. So all of a sudden, we are flung out of the sling, aren't we? We're no longer in the sling. So we are in the brook, the bag, or the sling. But then watch what happens. When that stone is no longer in the sling, it's flung directly at a giant. Oh, my goodness. A giant who's armed to the teeth. And he brings down the giant. It's what we're meant to do. Watch what happens. if this doesn't make you jump, then you need to turn off your radio, because nothing will make you jump. Verse 49 says, "And he took what? A stone, doesn't he? And keep reading to the Philistine in his forehead that what? The stone sunk into his forehead." When we are in the hand of the shepherd, be it the brook, the bag, or the sling, we go from being a stone to being the stone, not being a person to being the person, to being an instrument to being the instrument, to being a way to being the way that the giant comes down. We are not just a stone, we are the stone that brings down the giant. He is the stone, the foundation stone upon which we are built. When we are in his hand, when we are released from his hand and flung toward the enemy camp, we cease to be just a part of things. We become the person, the minister, the voice, the one that accomplishes what he would have us accomplish. The giant comes down. Amen. So we are in one of three places. We're in the brook, we're in the bag, or we're in the sling. And so David prevailed. God will always prevail. God will always prevail. We get the great and glorious privilege of having him prevail with us in his hand. But every single one of those steps, there isn't one place that's better than another. We need to understand where we are. And if we're in the brook, be patient. Be comfortable there. It's cool. God is accomplishing something in our life. If we get put into the bag, oh, we can be excited about the selection. But let me tell you, we're plunged into darkness. We're wrestled around with other stones that are of equal caliber, and we may jostle together, and God will have his shepherd stick his hand in his bag and pick just any one of us, and that's all right. And at that point, we get woo, 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 flung around at an incredibly high speed and finally released into the enemy camp. But when we are released, we are no longer just a stone. We are the stone that God has used to bring the giant down on his face. And so David prevailed. I just want to encourage you, wherever you are today, to remember that in every area of our life, we're either in the brook, the bag, or the sling. And sometimes it seems like, but I'm done with the brook. I should be in the bag. But his hand picks and chooses. If we're put back there, then let's know that's his choice, not happenstance or misunderstanding. He has put us back there. And there are times that we may be in one area, in one part of our life, and not another part of our life. Just know that everywhere you are, it's one of three places. For everything that God touches us in, we are either in the brook, we are in the bag, or we are in the sling. We will rejoice for wherever we are. We will find what it is he wants us to do, and we will rejoice in that. That this month especially, we are going to understand and we're going to rejoice. We're going to jump for this month that we are the stone in the hand of the master. It is the shepherd's hand. It is the shepherd's bag. It is the shepherd's staff. It is the shepherd's sling. It is he who gets the victory, not us. But we are a generation of those who bring down giants that others may rejoice, others may be set free, others may be healed, others may be delivered, others may come in to the glory that we know is present in his presence. I encourage you this month to jump into a new position with him. Let this month be a time of renewal, of refreshing, of excitement, and a time to come into our new position. Wherever it is, we know that we are there because of his hand. May God bless you this month. Please be encouraged. Please be excited about what God is doing. New things are happening all around us, and we are in the midst of it because we belong to him. We are either in the brook, the bag, or the sling. We are in the shepherd's hand, and we are that which causes the giant, a generation of giants, to come down. We know there were other stones in the bag, but remember, Goliath had brothers, didn't he? Who knows? David may have been saving those other stones to bring down the other giants. Giants don't live alone. They are part of a generation, aren't they? So whatever there is, God will use all of us to the best advantage for his people. Be encouraged this month that you may find your place in him and rejoice. In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you for this month. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this word. God, let every heart that needs to hear something hear it, whether it be from my lips or not, but that out of your word you speak to us, that God, we are just stones in your hand. It is you who knows how to aim. It is you who knows how to deliver that stone where it needs to go. Thank you, Father God. We ask you to bless each and every hearer, each and every heart, in Jesus' name. Looking forward to seeing you next week, or hearing from you next week. God bless you, and enjoy your week, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy all of the Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. And the broadcasts are as follows. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime. That's 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is aired on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the God in the Midst broadcast is aired every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you get an opportunity, please go to the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst website and listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's online archives. While you're on the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst website, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at Get 'Em Radio, that's GITM Radio, at gmail.com, or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him